Welcome to Minnesota Mixtape, a weekly spotlight on the Minnesota music scene. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. Now are back. The Colts indie rock duo surprise released their first new music in 6 years, a new EP we'll hear something from. Plus the latest in an upcoming Replacements deluxe album, a new Iron Range supergroup featuring Keith Sokola and Rich Mattson, indigenous futurism from Duluth-based Anishinaabe saxophone player Pink Marlena, and songs from David Huckfeldt, Underviolet, Charlie Parr, and more. It's Minnesota Mixtape, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and produced at KAXE, an independent and people-powered community radio station broadcasting from the north bank of the Mississippi River. Let's begin today with one of the stranger groups in Minnesota music. The Wallets were an experimental twin-tone records band founded by an accordion player named Steve Kramer. For reasons that I've never really seen explained, New Orleans legend Alan Toussaint produced their 1986 debut album, Take It. It's definitely weird, but it definitely slaps. Here's the title track.
Time of evening, I try to get something going, but I can't do it all by myself. I help. I need some of your help. I need somebody to help me lift this burden off my shoulders. Put that beat back into my feet and put that soul where it should be. Wow! I need help. Fellas, I think you better take it right here. Could you just take a little take? Some right here. That's better. Take it from me. Take it from me. Take. Come on, baby, it's not that hard. Just lift up this corner.
You just wear a crown to hide the power that you haven't got. Claiming your innocence, showing off your diligence. Play the role of the villainess, only then you can pretend you wanna be good when you're not. A favor, crave the taste of what you've done.
Finishing that set just like we started on Twin Tone Records. You could probably tell that was The Replacements, but if you're wondering what song it was, it's called Street Girl, a previously unreleased tune, part of an upcoming deluxe edition of the Let It Be record. We heard the second take. Before that, Palestinian-American indie pop singer Clover's Daughter with Irrelevant. This is Minnesota Mixtape, and this is some beautifully swinging, melancholic country from Sarah Bischoff, AKA Under Violet.
up off the ground. Boys behind the liquor store drop their money all around. He's on his hands and knees in the garbage in the store, picking up the pennies by my 40 in the store. So lay him down, lay him down.
Their own disguise. You wanna peel their mask to see what they all wanna hide. All the while you keep them from seeing your ugly side. Everyone is in on it. Everyone is in on it. Everyone is in on it. Everyone is in on it.
Almost over before it began. That is new music. A minute and 30 seconds from an indie rock group called Human, led by vocalist Lang Mua. Human are releasing their debut album later this month. We'll keep the new music coming at you when Minnesota Mixtape returns, this time from Dessa.
So I found KAXE when I was in college here in Bemidji. I actually can remember being at the stoplights at Dave's Pizza, just jumping radio stations, and it must have been, I want to say it was the Jayhawks, maybe Wilco was on the radio, and it floored me. I was like, wait, how am I hearing this in Bemidji, in northern Minnesota? I thought I had to be in the Twin Cities to get this stuff.
Mark is a member of KAXE. We are people powered. The music that you hear is not chosen by the government or an algorithm or a corporation. It's chosen by your friends and neighbors. Over 70 hours a week is produced by local volunteers. Support the people of northern Minnesota and KAXE with your donation now. Go to KAXE.org.
This is Drew Miller from Boiled in Lead, urging you to support KAXE and KBXE. Community radio is a lifeline for culture, and these days it's under threat. If you enjoy it, you need to help pay for it, because nobody else is going to do it except for you. Please support KAXE and the Summer Pledge Drive.
Make a donation now by visiting our website, KAXE.org, and clicking the word donate, or text donate to 218-326-1234.
Climbing up that old gallows ladder, cried out so gaily for his high white cap and feather. I've always been a lively lad, never murdered.
The Halloween theme continues here on KAXE, KBXE. Thanks for listening today. We receive support from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, dedicated to conserving the rich ecological landscape of Minnesota, offering memberships, educational camps, and habitat projects. More information available at mndeerhunters.com. Coming up at 4 o'clock, You Are on the River. Sarah is your host. And then we have a special green cheese coming up from 6 to 7. It's a kids' green cheese hosted by Mike Spry. And he's got a couple youngsters joining him. We've got Maya and Alex. And then at 7 o'clock, it's, of course, your normal dose of green cheese trivia. From 7 to 9, Brandon Chase is your host. Followed by After Dark. This week, Diane Ott is bringing you some rock and soul for KAXE After Dark. Thanks for supporting People Powered Radio. Here's more from Minnesota Mixtape. Halloween weekend continues on Minnesota Mixtape here on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. We've been celebrating our members all week long, and we are, again, just want to say thank you for supporting us and making People Powered Radio happen. We've got a special edition of Kids Green Cheese coming up at 6 o'clock today with Mike Spry and a couple helpers here. We've got Alex and Maya. That's coming up at 6 o'clock with regular green cheese to follow at 7. We receive support from the Timberlake Lodge and Hotel in Grand Rapids. On-site amenities include a restaurant with a full bar and the Grand Splash pool area with water slides and a hot tub. Further details are available at timberlakelodgehotel.com. Coming up at 4, it is On the River with your host, Sarah. Here is more from Minnesota Mixtape on this spooky Halloween weekend here on KAXE.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Heidi Holton. Coming up next, we've got Native Lights Podcast, where Native voices shine. That's followed by brand new from KEXE, the Season Watch Pod, connecting you with the delights of nature. This is 91.7 KEXE, Grand Rapids, and 90.5 KBXE, Bagley, Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, people-powered radio in northern Minnesota, with Translator K210DR in Brainerd, 89.9. You can listen at KEXE.org or on your smart speaker. Thanks for keeping us going. Help us out with your donation. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. And thank you.
Sugarbush babies, that's my grandma. She was born at Sugarbush Camp. And they were getting sap, doing all the things that you do at Sugarbush Camp. So her mother just went off and the other women helped, and my grandma was born. They didn't break camp. They just cleaned her up and wrapped her up and went back to work making sugar.
Bonjour, hello. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining me. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a bunch of different backgrounds, educators, community leaders, language warriors, authors, you name it. We have a great mix of passions. So we talk with folks about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. And it's another day, another opportunity to amplify Native voices. And today I am excited to speak with Janice A. Fairbanks. Janice is a member of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. She recently released a book called Sugarbush Babies, Stories of My Ojibwe Grandmother. And that's a memoir of lessons learned from her Ojibwe grandmother during the era of Indian relocation. And we'll definitely talk more about that. Janice is into history, writing, and Ojibwe language, and she's currently the chair of the Language Advisory Board for the Fond du Lac Band. So please welcome Janice A. Fairbanks. Bonjour, Janice.
Bonjour.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for joining me. Can you please introduce yourself and tell me where you're joining me from?
But that just means my name is Blue Sky Woman, and I'm from Leech Lake Reservation and Fond du Lac Reservation. I am Eagle Clan. I live in Cloquet, Minnesota. I'm a member of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa.
Great. Thank you so much. And how are you doing, and how is the family doing?
We're going crazy with a puppy.
Oh,
we were out trying to find a place to get him groomed and get some training from. He's only 5 months old. We did one training ourselves. We took him to one training, but he is a handful. So, yeah, otherwise, going good.
Okay, you have opened a major door here, Janice. So what kind of puppy?
He's mixed.
100% good boy?
Yes, he is. I saw pictures of him. There was a litter of five, and I picked him right out of the litter. And then she did some videos, and I picked him out again.
Oh.
Then we went to see him, and I picked him up, and he just came right to me and laid, like, right across my arm. I said, this is my dog.
Well,
my husband wanted a different one, but I said, okay, I'll hold them all. And this one just kept coming back to me. He reminded me of a cross between a raccoon and a bear. He's just a little bear, but he had that little raccoon face.
Oh.
Like little wrinkles all over his forehead. And great big paws. That's what reminded me of a bear.
Oh.
But, he's German Shepherd mix. He weighs about 40 pounds now, and he is strong. He is strong, strong. The vet told us he's going to be 70 pounds.
Wow.
We need to get him trained.
Yeah. What's his name?
Dutch.
Oh, my goodness. The first dog that I had with my husband was named Dutch. He was a Basset Hound mix.
Well, welcome to Puppydom. I have a 10-month-old German Shorthair Pointer.
Ah, okay.
He is 63 pounds right now and is still growing. So good luck.
Thanks.
Good luck with the training.
Yeah, we're going to need it.
That's so fun. Oh, so fun. Well, Janice, I know you have some exciting things happening with the release of Sugarbush Babies, which I have. Usually I ask at this point if there's anything that you are thinking about, mulling over, or excited about these days.
The book only covers, I would say, from the time I was born until I was 18 or so, those years of really high influence and contact that I had with my grandmother, because that book is really it's a tribute to her. She was a very strong woman, and she had an influence on my life that is still, it continues to this day. She's gone. She left us in 1981. That book says 1986. It wasn't 1986. It was 1981, but she was 86. So that's probably why those two numbers got mixed up. That's my fault. I didn't catch that when I was proofreading that book.
It's beautiful. First of all, like, the front is, it looks like a lake, probably wild rice, some cattails, some art in the front, and then photos. Why don't you tell me a bit about the cover of the book?
Well, I don't like that picture of me. That's me when I was 14, I think.
In the cardigan here?
Yeah.
Okay.
There weren't very many pictures of me when I was a kid. We had some kind of a camera, I guess, because there are some pictures that I have from that time span, but not many of me. So when they asked me for a picture when I was in my teens, that was one of them that I gave them. And then there's another one I tried to get them to use where I look a little neater. It's in the book. I'm wearing a dress and all that. But no, they like that one. So, okay. And the other one is my grandma and my mother and my uncles and my grandpa on the cover. That's my grandma when my mom was a little girl.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're speaking with Janice A. Fairbanks, Ph.D., member of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and author of the new book, Sugarbush Babies, Stories of My Ojibwe Grandmother. And then, can you tell me a bit about the title, Sugarbush Babies?
Sugarbush Babies, that's my grandma. She was born at Sugarbush Camp, and she used to tell me that story quite often growing up. I never got tired of it. She was really proud of that story. Her mother was at Sugar Camp, and they were getting sap, doing all the things that you do at Sugarbush Camp. And then Grandma was born. So her mother just went off, and all the women there, they had the pit and lined it with cedar, and then there was a pole across for my great-grandmother to hang on to. And the other women helped, and my grandma was born. And they didn't break camp. They just cleaned her up and wrapped her up and went back to work making sugar. I mean, I have a child, and I can't imagine getting up and going back to work after that. They were just a hardy lot. And she said that herself. She was at sugar camp, and so I was a sugar bush baby, she told me. So, yep, she was a sugar bush baby.
That's so lovely. Well, can you tell me a bit about the genesis of the book and your motivation to write it?
Those stories were collected the whole time and written about when I was a kid. I started writing when I was in the second grade, and it started by a classroom show and tell, because when I went from Bena, Minnesota, on the old Indian village, they called it, I wasn't used to being around non-natives. All I ever saw was my mom, dad, cousins, brothers, sisters. They all had black hair and brown eyes, and I wasn't used to seeing anybody else. So when we went and they put me in kindergarten, I thought my classmates were robots, for one thing. I thought they were some kind of fancy dolls because they acted kind of regimented, like they trained them to do. You know, all sit there with your hands folded and say to the teacher, would say, good morning, children. And they would all, good morning, Miss Smith, or whoever the teacher was. And so I did that too. I said, yeah, I could do that. And I just looked around at them, just all really nice. I had nice classmates. They were, what's the word, polite. They're very polite to the teacher. But I was the only native in the class. It was the time of Hollywood Indians, you know, cowboys and Indians. So I started by just the show and tell was a chance for me to talk about my life and what I did when I wasn't in school, which was being out in the country. And oh, I went to the lake and oh, I saw a flower. I remember one time telling him I saw pink clouds. Or I drew a picture and they said, what's that over there? And I said, it's clouds. No, clouds aren't pink. And I just thought, oh, how pitiful that they've never seen pink clouds. And yeah, they're pink. And then the teacher said, well, maybe it's an apple orchard in the distance. And I thought, how can she tell them that after I just got through saying that they are clouds and they are pink? It was a learning experience because it just told me that teachers don't know everything. And even though she contradicted me, I knew that it was pink clouds because I drew them. I was the artist, and I knew they were pink clouds. So I wasn't going to give up either. I just said, well, they are clouds, but okay.
So it's like you're telling your own story, your own truth.
And I found out my classmates, they really liked my stories. They got to the point where they would ask me for stories, and they started calling me a ye old storyteller. And so I just kept up with the stories. And the more I told, the more they wanted. I told them stories about what I did when I was out in the woods, about going and looking for wild blueberries and those little bitty strawberries. There's no comparison between those great big strawberries you see in the supermarket now and the tiny little wild strawberries. It just, there's just no taste comparison there. Good to look at those big ones, but those little ones are really a treat.
Mm-hmm. Your grandmother is central in this book. Can you say a bit more about your relationship with your grandmother?
I remember her coming to Bena, which is on the Leech Lake Reservation, because my dad told me, we're going to the train station to pick your grandma up. And that's the first time I really remember seeing her coming, stepping down off the train. And she always carried a shopping bag of some kind. She always had one. And in there, she generally had oranges. Well, this time when she got off the train, she came over and I was there. And I think maybe my littler, 2 years younger than me, brother was there, maybe one of my sisters. But she greeted us all, but then she gave me an orange. This is for you, she said. And I was used to anything we got, we slice it all up and all the kids would get one. But that one was for me. And so it made me feel real special. You know, I just wanted to walk with her and everything. Like from the first time I really remember seeing her, was she treated me special and I liked it. I used to really look forward to every time they said, Grandma's coming. And she always had that shopping bag. And in there she had something. It might be a cookie or, you know, something. She gave me my own. Probably did with the other kids too. She probably had one for each of them. But I remember her giving me one saying, this is for you. And I wasn't used to, this is for me. You know, you can have one and break it up and give a piece to your sister and your brother. And, you know, so yeah, she just made me feel special.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like the book, I'm making my way through it now, but it's memories. There's recollections and memories throughout. I have a 12-year-old right now, and every once in a while I'm observing him and wondering, like, what memory is being imprinted for the long term on him. Do you have any reflections on what memories tend to stick with someone?
Well, making somebody feel protected and special